Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording. Okay. The second hadith in Nawawi is very simple hadith. Is that basically a man came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man, a stranger. Nobody knows him. If nobody knows him, then he has to be an out-of-town comer, right? Somebody came from out-of-town. Okay? But when you are traveling from out of town and coming, what kind of dress would you have? Remember that they don't fly in airports. They travel in the desert. So what kind of clothes you would have? Huh? Dusty and dirty. Clothes, and you also would be dusty and dirty, right? So the question is, if nobody knows him and he doesn't look like a traveler, then where is he coming from? Huh? Yes, Angel Jibreel. Okay? But they didn't know he's Angel Jibreel at that point. Hey, they were surprised. Who's this newcomer? So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he sat and he put his knee facing the knee of the Prophet. So, putting knees to knees. When he sit down, he puts his knee to knee. And then he put his hand on his thighs. And put his hands on his thighs. And then he told him, Ya Muhammad, Muhammad, tell me about Islam. So he said, Islam is to bear witness that there is no deity except God. And five prayers. And zakah, hajj. So, okay, in the order, they are Salah, Zakah, Iqamatu Salah, Ita'i Zakah, Shahadat La Ilaha Illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, Iqamatu Salah, Ita'i Zakah, Sawm Ramadan, fasting, and then do the Hajj, in this order. So in this order, Shahada, Salah, Zakah, Sawm, Hajj. So when the Prophet said that, he said, you are correct. The stranger said, you are correct. So it's like huh? You ask me and then you say I'm correct. Then he is, if I may get your attention for like, can I get your attention? You know, just lift your head up there. Because that's it. Whenever you get comfortable, your mind your mind sleeps. And when we were young, and they are teaching us Islam, they wanted to make sure that we don't, our mind doesn't go, like wandering around or sleep. So they used to make us sit like that. Make us sit like that. This way of sitting is very painful. So when you're not comfortable in the way you're sitting, you focus more. But if they let us rest, then our brains will rest. So if you put your head down, your brain will rest automatically. Okay. So then he said, you're correct. And that's like, huh? Stranger can ask questions saying you're correct. Same thing. He said, tell me about Iman. So he said, Iman is to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, in the order, his books, his prophets, angels number two, the day of judgment, and number six is the fate. So, one Allah, two angels, three books, four prophets, five day of judgment, and 6 feet. Okay. Then he said, you're correct. Huh? You're correct. Then he asked him, tell me about Ihsan. So this is Islam. This is Iman. And this is Ihsan. Tell me about Ihsan. He said, Ihsan is to worship Allah with the feeling that Allah is watching you. Is that you feel Allah is watching you. To worship Allah with the feeling that He watches you. Or you are and the feeling that He sees you, not watches, He sees you. Where is that thing? Oh. He sees you, or you are seeing Him. Okay. Then he said, you're correct. And then he left. So companions were like, huh? Who is this Prophet Muhammad? Nobody knows him. Not stranger with shiny, clean clothes and body. Where he said, this is Jibreel. Came to teach you about your religion. To teach you about religion. About these three ranks. And the order... Islam is the basic. Iman is more. Ihsan is even more and more. So we have Muslim. We have Muslim. We have Mu'min. We have Muhsin. We have Muslim, Mu'min, Muhsin. And they are best. This goes down better. So Mu'min is better than Muslim, Muhsin is better than Mu'min. Okay. By the way, to just simplify Ihsan to you, because the language might be confusing. What happens to you if you're driving your car and there's a police officer behind you? What happens?
If you drive slower.
You drive slower and... Yes, you're fine, you're kind of worried, and you know what I'm saying. You triple watch, right? Okay, that's what Ihsan is. It's to deal, it's to go through your life, or to go through your day, feeling that Allah's watching you like a police officer is watching over your shoulder. You got this part? Now, can you maintain this feeling Allah all the time? I doubt it. Because... It's such a high. You become an angel if you maintain this feeling all the time, the feeling of Ihsan, which is like you're worshiping Allah, is like He's watching to you over you like a police officer, or you see Him. So it's either the police officer sees you, or you see the police officer, or both of you see each other. Okay, all right. Now this hadith has an important background on it. What's this background? It's a background about a man, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was searching for the truth. Who was searching for the truth. Now, there has been, you know, this was communication between who and who? Between, I wrote communication correct. And between, not correct, huh? a man and an angel. Communication between a man and an angel. A man and an angel. So, what is this communication? You know, when Allah created humanity, time and values. When Allah created humanity, what happens? The first prophet was Prophet Adam. The first prophet was Prophet Adam. So the values, let's say here is good, and let's say this is best. Let's say this is best. And this is worst. So this is the chart showing us that this is the righteousness against time. So when Prophet Adam came, where was humanity when Prophet Adam came? It's here, Adam. And then Prophet Adam taught his children righteousness. And then when Prophet Adam died, there was a prophet after him called Sheth. Sheth before, and then Idris, and then Nuh. These are the ones that we know. Sheth, which came after Prophet Adam. Prophet Sheth. Prophet Sheth. Anyway, at their time, the values were best. But when they died, what happened? The values starting what? Declining, until they hit zero, and then they... Here. So, we say that these values are... This is the heavenly values. And these are earthly values. Earthly values. Heavenly values are like what? Like, yes, good deeds, to be righteous, to avoid the haram, to promote the halal. These are the heavenly values, righteousness. Okay? The earthly values are selfishness, greed, because they come from lower desires, selfishness, greed, temptations, evil temptations, ego. All these are the earthly values. Okay? So when we go, when the Prophet died, what happened? Why the values are declining after the death of the Prophet? Of a Prophet. Why?
Because they need to
part of the church. Yeah, humans tend to forget, and Satans play games. Like they worshipped, they were tricked. I remember telling you the story before. They were tricked into worshipping five idols after Prophet Idris. So humanity goes down. When humanity goes down, Allah wants to establish a connection between heavens and earth to bring back the values on earth to be heavenly values again. So Allah established a connection between heavens and earth when this is the time. Allah connection between heaven and earth is established so that heaven can lift the earth. The earthly life up. So, guess what happens? When values decline to be so bad, Allah's mercy, and because Allah's the guidance provider, what Allah does, Allah sends prophet. The prophet will do connection, communication between, see, this is heavens. Let's imagine this. Watch my hands. This is heavens and this is earth. Okay? No doodling. This is heavens and this is earth. Okay? Allah sends a prophet to make connection between heavens and earth. So heavens is going to lift life on earth up. See? So once this connection is established, it goes up. Here. Again. So righteousness comes back. Comes back. And so forth. You know. And then the last cycle is the cycle of Prophet Muhammad. This is the end of communication between heavens and earth. Do you understand now the concept of hug or connection between heavens and earth? They are always separate, heaven and earth. Yes. They were always separate. Heavens and earth are separate from each other. They don't connect. Until an angel comes, I'm sorry, a prophet comes, to lift life on earth to be heavenly values instead of earthly values. To lift it up to heavenly values instead of earthly values. Instead of earthly values. You got this part right? And keeps going. Prophet comes. Heavenly values. Prophet dies. Down. Comes. Up. Down. Up. Down. Up. Down. And so forth. Now, this communication between heavens and earth, in the last connection, it was very special. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his cave, right? We know he was in his cave because he was, number one, wants to free himself from the influence of life in Mecca. So he wants to free. If you want to think about something really important, that without doodling, if you want to think about something, I'm sorry, something very important, you want to clear your mind. Okay. So he wanted to clear his mind by secluding himself into this cave. And at the same time, he wanted to observe the nature. Why does he want to observe the nature? Because? Huh? Because? It is the product of Allah. The product of Allah. Now, why does he want to observe the product of Allah, which is nature?
To find out
about Allah. Of course, if you know, definitely, just observing the heavens and the mountains and the creation of Allah is not enough to know about Allah. So Allah sent him a messenger. This man, once this man was sitting in his cave, a very strange-looking man, which is not a traveler again, clean clothes, shiny body. He hugged him, and hugged him really tight. That Prophet Muhammad thought his bones are going to break down. His bones are breaking down. And then he will let him free. And then he will tell him, "Ya Muhammad, read." The Prophet says, "I don't know how to read." Then he hugs him again. Really squeeze him so much that the Prophet said, "I thought he's the angel of death and my life is ending." And then he let him go. He said, "Then read, Muhammad." He said, "I don't know how to read." Then he hugs him so much. Again, hug. That's how the communication starts. See how the communication starts between heavens and earth? He hugs him so hard, like squeezing him. And then he releases him to let him go. And then he says, "Read, Ya Muhammad." And the Prophet said, now, he said, "I don't know how to read," two times. So apparently he figured out that, and both times he was hugged so hard. So apparently he figured out that he should have changed his answer. So instead of saying, I don't know how to read, he said, read what? So then the angel said, read in the name of your Lord, the one who created. Okay? Now, this is one of the most important moments. In this life, if not the most important, because that's a connection between heavens and earth established right there. So let's see the meaning of this, the meaning of this event. Number one, the hug represents what? The hug is between who? It's connection between a man. A man is an earthly being or heavenly being? Earthly being. And an angel. An angel is heavenly being. So here is the last connection. It's so emotional, and it's full of deep thoughts. The first one is that this connection is the start of the beginning of the process where the heavens will lift. Actually, Prophet Muhammad will come here. Because now the lift starts to the heavenly vanish. And then we're now here, like after the Prophet Muhammad, we're going through ups and downs. You know? After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the last prophet, and we are at the end of the time. So, the 140,000 years, I don't know how many years, but the humanity came to an end. Is coming to an end. One of the beginning of the marks of the Day of Judgment, the minor marks, like that comes first, early, are the appearance of Prophet Muhammad himself. So we are 1400 years after. And then among the media marks are the iron talking. The Prophet said the iron will talk, which is what we can see in televisions and radios and, you know, is talking. And he says that the Bedouins will build high-rise buildings, sky-rise buildings. The Bedouin who used to be shepherds, they would build high-rise buildings. And you can see high-rise buildings in United Arab Emirates. And you can see it in Saudi Arabia. And then he said, the mother will give, the slave will give birth to her master. A mother in Saudi Arabia, if a king or if a a royal person marries a peasant girl, okay, she is not a princess. If a prince marries a normal girl, peasant girl, she's not a princess. But her daughter is a princess. You understand that? The daughter is a princess because she came from royal blood, but the wife is not a princess, and she doesn't get the title. So it's like the slave is giving birth to her master. So many of these things started showing. Anyway, the life is going up and down until the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment, up here, in the Day of Judgment, end of life. And when I do like ups and downs like this, just to give you the idea, like tell you that it's the same pattern, but without a prophet. Okay? So, if you non-Muslim asks you, what is the meaning of this hug? This hug symbolizes what? Represents what? It represents the beginning of the connection between heavens and earth. Why is it painful? The second question that you might get from a non-Muslim says, why is it painful? Why is it painful? Why wasn't it just like a normal hug? Like, you know, even if it's firm, it's still a hug, but it doesn't have to be painful. Why is this connection between heavens and earth started in such a painful pattern, a painful way? And later on, the Prophet, when Jibreel reveals something to him, the Prophet will sweat and his camel will sit down because the Prophet becomes so heavy. So he feels sweating and becomes heavy and he sits down, or if he's riding the camel sits down. The revelations was always coming with pain. Why pain? Why not just a simple hug?
For so long.
Huh? He hugged him 3 times hard. The pain represents the law of nature, no pain, no
gain.
He's basically telling him that he's going to suffer a lot of pain. He's going to suffer a lot of pain. That's why the hug is painful. The hug is painful, but the pain that will come after the hug is much worse. You know how much pain the Prophet ﷺ suffered to make you and make me believers and Muslims? You know how much he and his companions suffered? It is amazing. They have suffered so much. So, no pain, no gain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since this point forward, he did not Since this point forward, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have doodling, did not have anything, any comfortable, you know, not any comfortable. He lived in continuous pain until he died. Continuous pain means continuous work. No pain, no gain. So this trip, this journey is full of pain. This journey up is full of pain. The journey up is full of pain. Okay? It's full of pain. As the Prophet, which is the connection between heavens and earth, is lifting earth. Just imagine how much pain if you're kind of... This is a metaphor, you understand? You understand this is a metaphor. Okay? So, you can't imagine... Imagine how much effort the Prophet has to suffer to lift this from the bottom of corruption into the lightness of guidance and righteousness. then what? Why did it happen in a cave? Why didn't it happen in, for example, a royal palace, such a very important communication? Why didn't it take place in a very fancy place? Very fancy. Because why is it a cave? A bare cave. A cave that does not have anything other than just a cave. Rocks and earth. Why cave? Why not fancy place? Since it's so important. Huh? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell us that the place, the decorations don't matter. Allah wants to tell us the decorations and the don't matter. What matters are the values, not the place. So no fancy places. So that's why it was in a cave. Okay. Now he told him Iqra. Iqra means read. Some people translate Iqra to be Utlu, which is recite. It's wrong translation. Iqra does not mean recite. Iqra.
doesn't mean doesn't mean recite. Recite. اقرأ is read. Recite is itlu. Got it? Like Allah is telling the Prophet, itlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab. Recite what was revealed to you. Okay? So, this is read. Not recite. Tell me, why did he tell him? Of course, no recitation, because there is nothing. For to him to recite, he has to either know something to recite it from memory, or have script to recite from the script, right? But Allah didn't say to him recite. He said read. And Allah knows that he doesn't know how to read. So what is the message here? Three times, read, read, read. What is this? What does that symbolize? It emphasizes what? It's what's the meaning? Yeah. Why read? It means basically read and understand life. Read and understand life using the names of Allah. So one of the meanings is, you know, the Quran has many meanings. The same ayah has many meanings. All of them are correct. You got it? All of them are correct. So, of iqra is that read and understand life or interpret. Read and understand life using the names of Allah. Read, understand life using the names of Allah. And then Allah told him, here is your first name. Alladhi khalaq. Alladhi khalaq means the creator. Now, what does it mean, read and understand life using the names of Allah? You know, people look at life differently. Like, bad people sometimes look at the life as an opportunity to take advantage of others. So, what do you view life? If I ask you, what do you view life to be? What do you think life is? What are your views of life? Like, maybe graduate, get married, get kids. I mean, that's your view of life, which is very decent. Is that it? How about you, Sabrina? What are your views of life? How about anybody here wants to share her views of life with me? Or with us? Mean people, their view of life is an opportunity to take advantage of others. Criminals view life as an opportunity to commit crimes and assault others to get better life. Good believers, they view life as an opportunity to go to Jannah. To collect as much treasure as collect as much treasure as they can to go to Jannah for the hereafter. So basically, اقرأ, using the names of Allah, think of them as glasses. Another metaphor here. When you want to read and understand life and explain life, read, explain, and understand. There is a glasses. This glasses is called the glasses of read. The glasses of read. Iqra glasses. When you put iqra glasses on you, when you put, so these glasses are called what, Saleh? Iqra glasses. When you put it on you, then you view, I'll give you a very simple example. When you're wearing the glasses of iqra, you view life as a product of, huh? Who made life? Allah. You take off these glasses, then you get confused. One will say, okay, some people will see that, view life as product of coincidence. Others will see life as a product of, huh? Evolution. From lower species to higher species, evolution. And so forth. Different people have different views of life. But when we wear these glasses, we say, the origin of humans are Adam and Eve. Take off these glasses, you get so many answers, confusing answers. One of them is that we evolved from apes and monkeys. And definitely, I know about myself, I didn't develop from apes and monkeys. I don't know about the people who say that. Maybe they feel that way, but not me. Not us. Okay? See, when you look at things using the glasses of Iqra, your perception is totally different. Totally different. I'll give you a third example. So how many examples so far? Two examples. About life, when you wear the glasses of Iqra, life is a product of Allah. We came from Adam and Eve. And then the third example that comes to show you the difference, if you look at the Prophet, for example, and the Prophet was killed by a bad thug, a bad guy. You know, many prophets were killed by bad guys. Like, for example, you know Prophet Yahya?
Yeah.
Was killed by a guy who was a boyfriend of prostitute, and she told him, in order to have me, you need to bring me the head of Yahya on a... In a plate, yeah. So he did that. He killed him. A bad criminal and his girlfriend, they were caused the death of a prophet. Very important prophet, like Prophet Yahya. When you look without the glasses of Iqra, you say, who is the loser? Prophet Yahya. And who is the winner? The bad guys. Why? Because the bad guys killed Prophet Yahya, but they survived. They didn't die. So they are the winners. Okay? That's without these glasses. But when you wear these glasses, what do you see?
Did you already take a picture?
Yes.
Should I erase?
This part, not this part.
Should I erase?
Yeah. But when you look, when you have these glasses on, you see that this is round number what? This life is round number one. Where is round number two? In the day of judgment. So, who is the true winner? The true winner is the one who wins. Is the one who wins round number one or round number two? Number two. So, what happens in matter in round number one, that's not the end. So, basically, in order to view that, you really need to put what? The glasses of Iqra. This is very important because my experience before, I have seen people who say God is not there. Why? Because they have witnessed so much injustice. They have witnessed, they came from a corrupt culture where girls and women are raped by thugs. And they really, and the thugs get away with what they do, and they kill and rape more and more. and they commit atrocities, okay?
And there's also the opposite side of things where people are girls in like Iran.
I'm not there.
To wear the scarf.
I'm not there at all. And this is not the type of subject.
I know, but not okay, believing in Allah because.
No, what I meant that those. So the guys who watch this, they came to me and say, there's no God. I said, what's your logic? They say, if there is God and he allows these crimes to take place, then he doesn't deserve to be God. Then I hate him. But if there's no God, then here we go. Look what is happening. It's explained by that there is no God. If there's a God and he's letting this happening, shame on him. The answer is very simple. How do you answer that? Huh?
He's giving us a test.
Yes. We have something called freedom, free will, right? This free will, okay? If Allah would stop criminals from crimes, then where is the free will? You don't understand? Allah mitigates, like we said, the Latif. He does not let all the evil out and the hearts out. But still, people have a choice to will what they want. And to try to accomplish what they want, free will. And that's why the crimes are happening. But for us, in order, see, what she, her answer came that way because she was wearing glasses of what? Iqra. If I go and ask a friend of yours who's not wearing the glasses of Iqra, they would probably say, I don't know. Or they would probably say, yeah, I think God is not fair, or God is taking a sleep, or God... Like Socrates, you know what did he say about God? He said, God is too busy to think about us. He can only think about himself, because he's the greatest.
Notice how he admits that Allah exists, or else the world itself would not be existent.
Yes. So, continuing on this... You can see that we can tell what you see here is you see the results of round number one. Wait until you see round number two. Wait and you will see what will happen to these criminals into round number two. Wait. Don't judge by round number one. So this is because you're wearing the glasses of Iqra. You see the hijab as a sign of modesty. And you see it as a sign of being righteous girl. I am not any girl. I'm a righteous girl. Before you talk, okay, watch your words before you talk. Don't flirt. If you want me to help you, I can help you only with decent business. Work with you in decent business. No indecent business. No Brahms. No dealings. Okay? If you view it that way, you view this as righteousness because of what? You're wearing the glasses of Iqra. People who don't wear the glasses of Iqra, they view this as form of oppression. Some of them say form of oppression. Others say, well, they're free to do whatever they want. Third say customs. It is the customs or traditions. Many people say many things. But for us, we see it using the glasses of Iqra. So your guidance in this life, if I may conclude this with one thing to keep in mind, is that you need to understand and explain things in this life. You need to read life. You need to read life using the glasses of Iqra. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So that was the most important and the most basic explanation of life, which is alladhi khalaq. So here is your first name to use, which is khalaq. So you need to understand life using the glasses of Iqra. You need to see life using the glasses of Iqra. You need to view life using the glasses of Iqra. Paying a charity, for example, the Prophet said, I swear, the charity doesn't decrease the wealth. Okay? So paying a charity, if you're not wearing the glasses of Iqra, you view that as loss or a gain?
Loss.
As a loss. Of lost. You view that as a loss. But if you're wearing the glasses of Iqra, you view that as what?
Gain.
Why gain? When the Prophet says, I swear by Allah, the charity does not decrease the wealth. How come this is gain? Exactly, because you get hasanat to help you in the second round. The most important things are to believe, well, we remove the test, to believe in these articles, and what you're talking about is article number 5, which is to believe in the what? Day of judgment. Without the day of judgment, everything will fall. Do you think, why should I sacrifice my time, for example, coming here and volunteering in the Islamic Center? Why should I sacrifice my time? Why don't I go have a party or have a good time on the beach or do something like that? Why do I donate money? Why do I donate good, decent, good, nice clothes? Why don't I just donate the leftover? Why do I sacrifice and pray? Why do I sacrifice and fast? When I was a graduate student at University of California, Irvine, I was fasting during Ramadan, and came that kid who's probably atheist. He said, trust me, don't torture yourself. God doesn't need you depriving yourself from food and drink. Trust me. Eat and drink, and you'll be fine. And if there's something wrong that's going to happen, I'll take it on your behalf. Of course, that's so ignorant, because, you know, nobody takes the sins of anybody else. That's number one. Number two, we fast and we stop eating and drinking to help ourselves, to exercise our muscles, spiritual muscles, to control our temptations. Not to for God, it's for ourselves. And I'll leave you here, and inshallah, I'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum. Substituted.